Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey, everybody. Hope you all had a lovely holiday break, giving gifts too, and fighting with your family. So I wanted to remind you guys that the Corolla Family Barbecue is fast approaching. Saturday, June 18th, 2022 is the day. Lit, Loxy, The Smoke and Kills, and a ton of your favorite ACS comedians will be there soaking up the sun, food, and booze. We hope you're going to be there too. We have a pre-sale that went quickly, so I decided to open this thing up. I am adding 100 extra tickets for this year's barbecue. That's 100 extra tickets. Bundles, barbecue, bar crawl. Take your pick and do it quickly. These are going to go fast. When the tickets are sold out, the only way you'll be able to get into the event is through the Case Club at CorollaDrinks.com. We can't wait to see you guys in June for the third annual Corolla Family Barbecue. Oh my God, it's exciting.
Geico, do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. You work hard enough. How about you do a little bundle? Bundle with Geico. Make it easy to bundle the homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got enough to do. You're busy these days. Save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save when you visit geico.com and get to bundling.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, get on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Mark Garagus in studio.
I love being in the studio. I get to meet great people as they're coming out. I saw Bald, who looked good. Bald looks really good, by the way.
Yeah, his treatment's going well.
And I was just telling him, his, what does he call it? The charity of the day that he does? What a great idea.
Yeah, it was really, it's a really nice New Year. I mean, that was his New Year's resolution versus mine, which is everyone else needs to get their shit together.
Right. Well, but that's, it's symbiotic, the two of those, you know. Everybody get your shit together, and Bald shows you how once you get your shit together, you can do something productive and charitable, which I
love. I like the way you tied that up.
Wait, can I tell you something? Mm-hmm. I was telling Gary, I sent it to him. So we did a, on Beyond yesterday, about, well, Gary, how long was it? 15 minutes?
15, 16, yeah.
Yeah, on the Drake Taco Bell hot sauce, or actually, I don't know why I'm giving them a free plug. It was just hot sauce in the condom so that the, after you ejaculate, when the woman sticks it up where the sun don't shine, that it would either burn or destroy the semen. So we did a good 15 minutes on it. And I was struck yesterday, as a lawyer, by the legal acumen, because I basically kind of led into the Beyond with, this was so ridiculous to me, I did not understand how anybody was contemplating bringing a case. Gary, if he wasn't occupied, I would have him describe just describe what the facts are, because I'm leading up to something that I think is kind of unique.
The facts of the Drake thing.
Yeah, the facts of the Drake case.
Yeah, so an unidentified Instagram model claims that she was introduced to him over social media. They agreed to meet up. They smoked some weed in a hotel room. He asked if she wanted to have sex, retreated to a bathroom, came out with a condom on. They had sex. He went back to the bathroom, disposed of the condom. We now know did some hot sauce shenanigans in the midst of that. And then he exited the bathroom, and then she entered the bathroom and attempted something that I bet she wished she didn't.
And so, well, it depends on how much she ultimately gets. But so I let off yesterday with, I really, you know, this kind of is one of those outlandish claims, blah, blah, blah. You, however, did a dissertation on why you thought Drake was, you know, the destroying semen really was not the motivation. It was really to punish the person for sticking up. So I get a unsolicited email today.
I did my due diligence on the science behind this, and it turns out hot sauce does not kill the semen, but you will give birth to a Mexican child. That's what I read on a pretty reliable source.
Was it from the National Institute of Health?
I'll confirm it with Drew, but that much I know as far as the science goes. Now continue.
I thought I was going to get somewhere with this. So a woman who I've known for almost 40 years, who's and I'm not going to identify her, but one of the most respected ethics lawyers in the California, bar none, wrote me a very nice email that I didn't know this, but she's a avid listener of the podcast and has always thought of us as kind of tilting more misogynistic. I don't know why, but after yesterday's discussion and the unique the kind of take that you had on it and the back and forth, that she's rethought the one aspect, the pejorative aspect, and really thinks, thought very highly of your legal acumen. So I thought, here you've got somebody who is a lawyer to lawyers and is generally recognized, I don't want to identify her, but generally recognized as kind of an authority, who was equally as taken by your analysis yesterday as I was in real time yesterday.
She said you really opened up the issues. I thought that was a great compliment.
Well, thank you. It's not apples to apples, but if you had a roommate and the roommate you suspected was eating your cereal. Cereal, when I had roommates, that was a big ticket item.
$5 or $6. You're right.
And the other roommates would always get into your cereal. And if you suspected them of eating your cereal, so you thought, I'll taint this cereal, and the roommate got sick, you would be in trouble even though they stole your cereal. And then that was kind of where I was going with the Tabasco in
the
condo.
Yeah, but you don't understand the quality of the analysis that you did. You did kind of a prospective response to a, like if Drake had filed a demur, if there's a lawsuit that's brought and said, no, this is ludicrous, blah, blah, blah. And the response had been, no, there's a factual dispute here. Well, there's demur or motion for judgment on the pleadings. He equally could have found that there wasn't any deleterious effects that a hot sauce would have on semen. Semen would still be active. That clearly the only deleterious effect would have been on the person who tried to insert it. And beyond that, we believe that through discovery, we'll find out through internet searches or something else that he'd actually look this up.
Well, it came down to a pretty simple equation, which is, were you trying to render the semen inoperable, so to speak, or were you trying to punish the person that was stealing the semen? And seeing as how it took place in the same room as a place that had a toilet in it, I would argue, you know, Tabasco aside, the toilet, that's 100% batting average. Once that thing hits the Santa Monica Bay, she can't get near
Even it. The best birth control is not 100%.
Right.
Right?
But yeah.
But the toilet?
Batting average, 1,000%. Yeah. So the fact that he walked past the toilet and got into the Tabasco, I would like to cross-examine him on that.
Well, as Gary says, and it'll probably be the title of the show, really, Adam opens up the issues. That's
so now, I know you have tweets in front of you.
We've got tweets in front of us, but let's start. There's a segment that I thought we broke down. One of the big issues on the right, and people have responded to, and we've talked about it multiple times, is Ray Epps, E-P-P-S, mm-hmm. who is the gentleman on the tape that is seen, I believe, on January 5th, exhorting people to, we're going to go down to the Capitol.
He's seen on the 5th and the 6th.
And the 6th, clear, I was going to say. And then on the 6th. And then people are yelling, Fed, Fed, Fed.
Right.
Okay. So now there's apparently, because it started to gain some traction, it was revealed, I believe, yesterday by one of the Congress people on the select committee that Epps had Adam Kinzinger. He says, I know this will break some hearts. For a few months, people like Tucker Carlson, MTG, Getz, and now Cruz have been just asking questions about a man named Ray Epps. He was on video the day before saying we're going to the Capitol, and they chanted Fed, Fed, Fed. Why? Well, then he doesn't exactly dispel the conspiracy theory. You know what he says after why? Hmm. Who knows? Well, okay, I'll get to that in a second, why that's significant. Maybe they know he was being videoed the day before, wanted to create distance. Regardless, he was put on the FBI wanted list, then removed. Because of all that, the conspiracy that he was an FBI agent has been gospel on blogs. That is why we have to address conspiracies, not ignore them. Well, first thing I'd say is, look at Adam. Love you, but when you said why and who knows, that isn't exactly addressing the conspiracy.
And, right. And Mr. Kitzinger, not me. Yes, sorry, by the way.
Yes, exactly. So he didn't enter the Capitol, was removed from the most wanted list because apparently he broke no laws. Once again, you'll find out, and Gary will get to him. The one thing he didn't say is, and maybe he did in one of these, that I believe, didn't they concede that he did testify, Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, if you keep reading, they get to that, absolutely.
Okay, so let's just break down at the very beginning of this. What do you mean, why? And what do you mean, who knows? You have somebody who's testifying in front of you, and mind you, closed session, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another tape, and we'll show that later. There's another tape of Ted Cruz asking an FBI agent in a public setting, you know, will you deny that there were any feds or informants, right? And she says, I declined to answer.
Right.
Understand, this is a closed committee that is behind closed doors, where there's no publicly reporting of it other than, you know, the committee members admitting or conceding. Why is it you don't have the answers to – you're able to tweet – how many tweets, Gary? What is there, eight?
There's a seven-tweet chain.
Seven-tweet chain. If you had time to spell out the seven tweets, was there something preventing you from asking the guys these questions and getting the answers?
And, Mark, let me just clarify earlier, because you asked if he testified. It says cooperated with the January 6th committee. So that's another point of contention is, well, did he testify? Was this cooperation done under oath? Is there a record of it? These are the new questions coming out now.
Well, here's what you always have to look for. You have to look for inconsistencies of, like, actions and behaviors. You know, there was one tweet that Kinzinger, I don't know how to pronounce his name. We'll call him Adam.
Kinzinger.
Adam K.
There's one that's like, well, the reason we didn't prosecute this guy is he was just kind of milling about. I mean, they literally called him a tourist or something. There's one of them in there, or maybe it'll pop up on this Tucker clip I'll play for you. But the point is all you guys have been talking about is they've broken this sixth into two events. One is inciting. Trump needs to be prosecuted for inciting it. And the other part is the people that carried it out. Well, if you're worried about inciting this event, you have plenty of videotape of this guy, Ray Epps, jumping around going, we got to storm the Capitol. You got to come with me. And footage of him right at the front gate, right at the beginning, pushing on the barrier and whatever. So if you're going after people, you're not prosecuting anybody for an insurrection. No one's been charged for an insurrection.
Correct, so we're a year removed.
It's a bizarre world we live in where you call it a carjacking, but you don't charge anyone with carjacking.
Especially after you've arrested the suspects.
Right. So no one's been charged with that.
But you're charging people with a lot of different things, trespassing, standing too close to a monument, and all that kind of stuff. So then don't give me the part where, well, we would have done something to this guy, but he didn't do anything.
Well, the fundamental question, Gary, please tell me, where in the seven tweets is there an explanation for why he was on the most wanted list and then taken off?
That's a number three. Regardless, he was put on the FBI wanted list, then removed. Because of all that, the conspiracy that he was an FBI agent has been gospel to blogs and shows. Side note, this is why we have to address conspiracies, not ignore them.
Right. But this is why you need to address why he was removed. Moved.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. To repeat the conspiracy is not to dispel it.
So it's number four, I think, that you're speaking about there, Adam. Four, he didn't enter the Capitol on January 6th and was removed from the most wanted list because apparently he broke no laws. I'm pretty sure the FBI wouldn't be dumb enough to put their own agent on a watch list. Ray Epps has cooperated with the January 6th committee, and we thank him.
Right. Okay, let me go back to your point. For everybody who's... talk about the absence of evidence is evidence. The fact that he didn't go in the Capitol, if you're saying he incited, do you understand that that doesn't make any sense?
Right.
I mean, there's that talk about the definition of a non sequitur. Either he incited, which clearly he did, because he's standing there saying, you know, we're going to go inside, we're going to do this. That's what an incitement is.
Well, I'll play you. It covers Cruz and Epps and all of this. I coincidentally saw this on Tucker Carlson's show. It's about 5 minutes long, but it sort of covers all that we've talked about. And Mark, I always see it, and I think I'd like to get it through Mark's
prism. I think I know which one, and I'm glad you've got the whole thing. Because I just want to start off with... on what basis do you say he was put on the FBI list? He broke no laws because he didn't enter the Capitol. There's going to be quite a few defense lawyers, in my humble opinion, who are going to be filing motions and attaching this to it and say, wait a second, there were the breaking no laws. Why are you filing against me, my guy?
And just so you guys know, I was a babe in the woods with all this stuff. I had no idea that this went down. But when I heard about the Gretchen Whitmer case, the governor of Michigan, and that big kidnapping plot, and it turns out about half the posse was FBI guys, either informants or work with the FBI or whatever, it sort of woke me up to this thing of where you insert your guys.
And by the way, before we press here, we said, I don't know, 10 episodes ago, you know, let's get the language correct. An FBI agent is a sworn agent, as most people use it. An informant can or cannot be somebody who is a reliable informant, an attested informant. It's somebody who is an informant. That's what by definition.
Right. So this guy could be involved with some white supremacist militia out of Phoenix and still be an informant.
And still be an informant. And hold on. I want to tease some other things because you know why? It's really hard to keep up with the news for many reasons. Paywalls, fake news, clickbait, bias, Kinzinger posing questions that he doesn't answer. Imagine an app that gives you unlocked access to reliable news sites, filters out fake news, and still presents stories from multiple perspectives. I can't even believe this exists. Imagine an app that highlights good news so you don't get depressed, where journalists scour through world news to find stories you wouldn't normally see. Australian startup Inkle, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, INKL, Inkle, has partnered with 100 news sources like The Economist, The Atlantic, and Bloomberg. They created a unique system combining journalists and algorithms to create a best of news feed. I love this. This is the greatest. Gary, what do you think about this?
It's the best. For just $100 a year, you can get access to premium news that would otherwise cost you $12,000. If you go right now to inkle.com/doubt, that's inkl.com/doubt, they'll give you an additional 25% off. That's a whole year's worth of headache-free news for just $75. That's inkl.com/doubt. Try it today.
Okay, all right. So I'm saying the precision of language will become important as we watch this.
Yeah. Now, the other thing to keep an eye on if you watch Fox is when they put together their blue ribbon commission, they kicked off a couple Republicans who were going to ask some questions that they didn't want asked. Such
I think
as,
what happened is there was McCarthy and Jim Jordan, who at a certain point were refused to participate, and then Kinzinger and Cheney did and have become verboten or persona non grata since.
I think they took Jim Jordan off. Now, I know Jim Jordan. He's a very precise guy, and he's sharp. And the first question that he would ask is, if you want to talk about – because presumably you put together the blue ribbon panel so this doesn't happen again. So Jim Jordan has a lot of questions like Trump suggested 20,000 National Guards people. Hey, Bowser, the mayor, and hey, Nancy Pelosi, who's the head of the Capitol – why didn't you guys take
this is where I
the
think
National Guard.
Those on the right and I could agree on one thing. And when it comes to this, why is this is like the victims. I mean, there's no question people broke into the Capitol, right? No question that every single one of those people on the committee were either frightened, angry, scared. No question. Give me. They're all complaining witnesses slash victims. How are they the tribunal for getting to the bottom of this? How are you going to – that's like saying I'm going to go break into my neighbor's house, and then when they bring charges, I'll be the judge and prosecutor in the case.
Yes.
And by the way, the same argument that they make against Jim Jordan, because I've heard this. No, we couldn't let Jim Jordan be on. Why? Because Jim Jordan is a witness. Got it. You're a victim. You're a witness also. By the way, you were there. Does Jim Jordan have some kind of conspiratorial part to play in this? Could be, but guess what? You don't get to judge that. You couldn't find 10 respected retired judges or 10 respected retired federal prosecutors or 10 respected practicing criminal defense lawyers, appoint them and have it done there in some kind of a real tribunal? Because when you say that the Republicans aren't cooperating or that you accuse the Democrats of engaging in theater, it's on both sides.
Yeah,
get an independent tribunal. Stop having witnesses or co-conspirators be involved in the process.
Good anyway. Point. All right, we'll play the Tucker clip from last night.
Huffing and puffing on TV, and just look at the video evidence. It's been clear for a while now that the Department of Justice probably had some role in the events of January 6th. It's obvious. And after hearings on Capitol Hill today, it became even clearer. Watch Senator Ted Cruz of Texas ask an FBI official called Jill Sanborn point blank whether the FBI was involved.
How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
This is where I press pause. First of all, she should have said, when she says I can't go into sources or methods, he should have said, somebody should have said, well, let's break that down because that's a compound question. FBI agent is different than a confidential informant and a something else that they call, which is a cooperator. So when you do a compound question like that, she says she's not going to go into it. I don't believe she was thinking it's compound, but she was talking about, I'm not going to touch either of those prongs because that would involve sources and methods, which implies that there was a confidential informant or an FBI agent, but it's left hanging once again.
Well, in your experience, if in her experience, this is all news to her and there were no informants or FBI personnel involved with this, would you just say, not to my knowledge, that we had no involvement in this? Or would you say, I can't go into that?
I would go so that it couldn't be played into what it is right now. What she should say is, you know, as a trained constitutional lawyer, that the asking of whether there's a confidential informant or an FBI agent is there is a prohibition from just releasing that information.
So based on that exchange, does it seem like there was somebody from the FBI?
It seems to me that if you're using the language confidential informant, and that is an umbrella for somebody who's cooperating, clearly there are cooperators.
All right, continue.
agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Yeah, no, I would imagine
she
can't answer, or she wouldn't answer all of that. And by leaving it hanging and not invoking what the problem is with that, the evidentiary, the prohibition from revealing it, you generally, when you make a – if there was a criminal case and you wanted the confidential informant who was supplied the information to the FBI agent who is the affiant on a search warrant, you would need to go to the judge, request that in the federal setting, and if you got it and you'd have to jump through some hoops, you would only get it generally under a protective order.
All right, let's continue.
Cruz asked, quote, did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th? That's what he asked. And the obvious answer is, are you kidding? Come on now. Of course the FBI isn't secretly committing crimes of violence. That's insane. We're a federal law enforcement agency. We're not the Tonton Macoute. Next question, please. That's what Jill Sanborn should have said, but that is not what she said. Instead, she replied, quote, I can't answer that. But of course Jill Sanborn can answer that, and she should be forced to answer that immediately. No sources or methods.
He's getting to sources and methods. I would agree she should have answered it with more particularity as to why she couldn't answer it, because you're going to get what he says right now.
Right.
You reveal, just answer the question.
Right.
Did sources they participate in violence or not?
See, that's the problem. Yes, sources and methods as believed or utilized for years. Mind you, I've always been on the opposite side of this thing, calling bullshit that it doesn't reveal anything except who the accuser is of your client. But she could have articulated, instead of saying, I can't answer that, which then the natural layperson reaction is this, you must be hiding something. Why not detail why you can't? Which is, by the way, a justification that is used in thousands of filings for decades in federal court PACER, you know, where they say.
You're basically saying, it's like if somebody said to me, are you a wife beater? And I said, I can't answer that. Then, why couldn't you answer it? But this is more complicated, more nuanced.
It is more nuanced.
But the answer is a little damning.
Yeah. And the answer, I understand why there's a conspiracy theory for the same reason that Kinzinger perpetuates the conspiracy theory.
We have more, and his name will come up.
That hard tells you a lot. At another point, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas asked the Assistant Attorney General, Matt Olson, about Ray Epps. Epps is the man you've seen in multiple videos encouraging the crowd to storm the Capitol, but somehow has never been charged himself. Here's that exchange.
Okay, so it gets back to what I meant earlier, like asking if you're prepared for this hearing. You're the Assistant Attorney General for National Security. You run the National Security Division. The department has said that these January 6th prosecutions are one of their highest priorities. This is a man who was on the most wanted page for 6 months. Do you really expect us to believe that you've never heard of the name Ray Epps, or you don't know anything about him?
I simply don't have any information at all, Senator, about that individual.
In other words,
what was your line about this before? Because we've done this in many different contexts. Where you
I always
talk
do
about
stupid or liar. It's like Dr. Fauci going, I'm going to look into natural immunity. You're going to look into it 19 months into this fucking thing? You're going to look into it.
Well,
he doesn't know the name of the guy. Kissinger had to respond to this because there was so much noise on the internet about it. But this guy, who's head of the Department of Everything, not familiar. That seems
implausible.
Peculiar. Yeah, implausible. Well, or you're inept. Sorry, we'll keep it
hey,
going.
Get it? Inept?
Inept. Go ahead.
Really expect you to believe that. Quote, I simply don't have any information at all on that individual. So the DOJ knows nothing about Ray Epps, the guy on the most wanted list. Right. That's absurdly false. And as if to underscore how absurdly false it is, within a short time, Democrats in the January 6th committee released a statement claiming that actually they'd already interviewed Ray Epps, and anyone who still has questions about his behavior on January 5th or 6th is a dangerous conspiracy theorist. Quote, Mr. Epps informed us, the committee said in a statement today, that he was not working with, employed by, or acting at the direction of any law enforcement agency on January 5th or 6th.
Okay,
or any
press
other-
pause, by the way. Or at any other time that he has never been an informant for, or any other law enforcement agency. As of today? Because I understood he could not be acting at their direction then, but has he acted at their direction subsequently or cooperated and as a way to get removed from the FBI's most wanted list? And by the way, the FBI, last time I looked, is under the umbrella of the DOJ.
We'll continue.
And that he has never been an informant for the FBI or any other law enforcement agency, end quote. Wow. Bombshell. Looks like case closed. We can forget about Ray Epps and move on. Sorry we asked. Oh, but wait a second. When exactly and under what circumstances did the committee talk to Ray Epps? Supposedly, this interview was conducted in secret last November. If that is true, we don't know that it is, but let's say it is, then why did the committee wait months to tell us today in a tweet? When the committee got its hands on Mark Meadows' text messages, we seem to remember they leaked those to the media within hours. And by the way, was this Ray Epps interview conducted under oath? Did Democrats subpoena his electronic communications as they did with Meadows and so many others? Will the information Epps revealed to the committee be available to the many January 6th defendants who are now awaiting trial? Can their lawyers see a transcript of this interview? Can we see a transcript of this interview? If not, why not? And while we're at it, here's something.
Press pause. This is what this invites also. As a defense lawyer, you are going to demand all of this. If you're defending one of the people, you're going to demand to know why he was on the list, why he was removed from the most wanted list, what kinds of inducements there were. Did he cooperate? Did anything he say, did that subsequently get used by the prosecution with your particular client?
Against your client.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the questions, and I know people like to, you know, on my side of the aisle, love to mock Tucker, and sometimes rightfully so, but just like they like to mock me from the right. But the fact remains, these are questions that the defense of somebody who's being held in custody are going to rightfully ask. And why shouldn't they be?
I agree. Let's continue.
That's confusing. Epps is a longtime right-wing activist. As you know, he urged protesters to riot. Video from January 6th shows him at the forefront, right in front of the Capitol, appearing to usher others inside. So he wasn't just someone who was there. He was maybe the central figure there. And yet Democrats, for reasons that aren't at all clear, suddenly seem highly protective of Ray Epps. They don't want you to criticize him. Adam Kinzinger described Ray Epps today as, quote, nothing but a January 6th protest attendee. Really? Nothing but an attendee? He is, of course, the opposite of that. Of everyone there, Ray Epps is the one you should be maddest at if you're the Democratic Party.
Now, I would press pause. Explanation I would give or I would proffer, he must be cooperating like nobody's business. I mean, I cannot believe that the prosecution is going to leave this hanging when you've got people in custody and pending sentencing, because he must have a bombshell of a connection to somebody. Otherwise, this is, to my mind, somewhat inexplicable. We may find out at some point that the reason that they are kind of dancing around all of this is because there is some just incredibly good piece of evidence that he has provided.
All right. So three potential scenarios, but only three, and I don't think even three and a half. Either he just has oodles of information and he's flipped and he's a fountain of evidence and information and he's very useful to the committee and they're wanting to play that close to the vest.
Right. And as an adjunct to that, somebody at DOJ has said, tread lightly, we're using him.
Or he is involved with an organization, FBI or beyond, and they're protecting that information from the public at large.
Which would go to sources and methods if that was the case.
Or the third, which is he was just sort of a
tourists who got caught up in a crowd and were not particularly interested, as Adam Kissinger just said with his tweet. So we can throw that one out.
Well,
right?
If the first supposition, if it turns out that he's got some incredibly valuable information and the select committee was told, stay away from him, we'll let you interview him. You know, one of the things they could be is they could have sent a representative that attended an interview in November of him by DOJ. That could, if DOJ is using him for some larger prosecution.
Why would one of the Adam Kissinger, I think you say the name?
Kinzinger.
Adam Kinzinger, why wouldn't he say he is cooperating and is useful to this committee?
Because if that were the case, and I say if on all of this, I'm just telling you based on my experience, the questions that are being raised are legitimate in the sense that it doesn't seem to make sense. DOJ very possibly could have said, in order to protect an ongoing investigation, and I've had this as recently as last year, where unbeknownst to me, they file something with a court and they tell the court, here are the reasons, ex parte in camera, that we're not going to reveal the information around this. In fact, in my case, it was somebody who had actually signed a plea agreement. And they would not reveal the plea agreement. It was somebody who was on my witness list. They wouldn't give any of that information. The judge sustained that. In her opinion, it would have jeopardized a very important investigation involving the feds. And that was the reasoning. So they were instructed, you are not allowed to do it. It's grand jury secrecy. It's Rule 6, blah, 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 blah.
All right. How much is left, Gary? Oh, we'll continue.
Not much longer.
And yet they're telling you he was an attendee, not an insurrectionist, not a terrorist, just an attendee. Another engaged American exercising his constitutional rights. That's a huge change. It's bizarre. It doesn't make any sense at all. So what's going on here? Something is, that's for sure. And one last question. The committee has assured us that Ray Epps wasn't, quote, employed by, working with, or acting at the direction of any law enforcement agency. Okay. But why did the committee stop there? Would the committee be willing to broaden that statement and affirm in writing that Ray Epps wasn't working with any government agency, law enforcement, or otherwise? That would be a very simple change to make. Let's see if they'll make it. Let's see if Republicans will force them to make it.
You know, that's also a pretty good point. The way it was crafted, I think somebody said it was highly lawyered up. It's obvious that it was, the statement that was revealed. But it would be interesting, but they probably wouldn't do it because they would still invoke, threaten ongoing investigation. I mean, that's used all the time. It's invoked all the time. And was he in contact with some governmental official, some elected official, somebody from, other than the various areas? Because I don't think they would reveal that either, because that would reveal sources and methods.
Well, either way, if you wanted to tamp down the conspiracy theories involving Ray Epps or involving some of the questions Senator Cruz was asking, we haven't gone an inch closer to that finish line.
I would actually push back and say we've actually created more questions than we started off with. There were, to my mind, I'll tease it.
I'll tease that. I'll tell you about Truebill. Wonder why free trials renew without your consent? It's a scam. Don't let corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill, it's a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, you don't want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save $720 a year. Truebill has helped 2 million plus users save over $100 million. Just link your accounts to Truebill, and it'll cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. That's right. Save money. God knows the spigot's always running out there with all the money out there.
How many times do you get one of those notifications that your subscription just renewed and you said, I didn't even know I had the subscription?
That's why I got Truebill, right, Gary?
That's right. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/doubt. Go right now, Truebill.com/doubt. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill, that's TrueBill.com/doubt.
So you were going to say?
Well, look, you could have, you know, people like to use that term, the teachable moment. Would have been a good moment if you were going to invoke, I can't get into the sources and methods, which she started to, then you have to understand there's so much scrutiny on this. It's so highly politicized that somebody should have anticipated that it would have been taken this way. I mean, it's a kind of a evidence 101, and you'd never be able to ask those questions in a courtroom without more explanation. You would have had to assert the basis for why you couldn't answer. You couldn't just say, I can't get into that.
Well, also, Kinzinger, Adam Kinzinger, he hates Tucker Carlson because when he was talking about January 6th several months ago, he started crying. And then Tucker Carlson kept making fun of him for crying. To call him sort of a, you know, tourist who was just milling about the mall, in a world, so it's all hyperbolic speech, right? It's all democracy hanging from a thread. So you go from worst attack on this country since Pearl Harbor, not since 9/11, democracy hanging by a thread to, oh, that guy, he was just kind of chillaxing around town. Well, which is it? Because you guys are way over the top of the hyperbolic stuff, and all of a sudden you've turned it the other way for this guy, which is nothing to see here. Why did you turn in a world where all you do is add three zeros to every number and conflate every, you blow up, you add creatine and steroids to everything? How come you're tamping him down?
And this is why you want my completely rank speculation reaction to that. The first thing I would say is, remember when I was telling you DOJ said, don't get in the middle of this. We'll cooperate, or you can maybe have one of your investigators attend an interview, quite possibly, but then you're not going to reveal the contents of that interview or anything else. Kinzinger is the kind of guy who would take that so seriously that he would go in the opposite direction to where there's probably some prosecutor at DOJ who's saying to himself is, seriously, this is where the guy goes? He can't just say, I'm not going to comment on that. He has to go here because this is going to be rammed right up our ass at some point in the future.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but there must be some rookie symposium like they have in football and basketball where it's like, hey man, you're gonna meet a lot of women on the road, don't get drunk and go back to your room. And I would say the same thing about dumb tweets from people on the committee. Like, they're gonna be dangling a lot of bait out in front of you. Don't bite on it. Don't take to Twitter. Well, this is all just gonna enter the record. And well, now you're going to have conversations like we're having now.
Right, exactly. And you're going to have us talking about it and saying it doesn't make sense. And I know at some point, I don't know, I'm just going to speculate. Once again, I phrase it as speculation, that he was admonished by someone and he went too far.
What was his quote one more time of that tweet? Because like I said, he really, I don't know if it was on your master list. That was the thing.
And by the way, I think Gary at some point is going to, as his usual job, is going to drop some of these in so that if you're watching on YouTube, you can see them.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I am going to.
I don't think that Tucker Carlson one made it onto your list, or at least I didn't hear it.
So what Tucker did was he read excerpts from a statement by the committee, and then he talked about Kinzinger, and they were saying the same thing. So my list is just the Kinzinger tweets, and he was using excerpts from a January 6th committee statement.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought it was his. But
no problem. He does basically say in his last tweet, which we never got to, basically that the narrative on January 6th has been that there's patriots who love their country, Antifa, maybe crisis actors, false flag operatives, and now FBI agents. Take your pick. The truth is they were just rioters incited by lies. And Ray is no Fed, just another misled man.
incited by lies, but I thought Ray was the guy who incited with lies. That's what I mean. It's like if I'm sitting over at the DOJ, I am so frustrated with this guy. I just don't even know what to do.
Yeah, because there's plenty of videotape of him telling everyone to march over to the Capitol.
On the day before and the day of, he can't, you know, it's not like you're going to say, it reminds me of guys who want a heat of passion defense and a killing to reduce it from murder to manslaughter. You know, it can happen in the flash of an eye. This guy's on two successive days.
Right.
Right.
Of doing this.
Right.
And again, you're the officials that you're going after who didn't attend, but Trump and others and his cabinet and folks on the right side of the aisle, the whole allegation is incitement.
Correct.
That's your entire case. There's no footage of them storming the Capitol. It's all about words and incitement. So obviously that's a pretty big component of your prosecution.
Yeah, I really think they ought to look, the Democrats are in charge of the committees because they control both the House and the Senate. So if they were smart from messaging, and that's a whole, we could do a whole show on how Democrats don't know how to message, you would call back somebody from DOJ to explain this stuff.
What is the difference between a president and a congressman saying, march over to the Capitol? And not that they did, but if they did, and a citizen saying march over to the Capitol.
Well, there's an argument that the president or House members, and House members, when I say House, broadly speaking, House members have a lot of immunities for speech. And the president has a lot of immunities, as we've seen be argued in the civil lawsuits that have nothing to do with the presidential function, yet the president asserts that they have immunities there too. So those immunities are very broad. So if you're saying that a private citizen who does not have those immunities was just misled, then what are you saying about the people who do have the immunities?
Oh, see, I thought it was the opposite. I thought you'd say, well, there's a fiduciary duty if you're an elected official to speak responsibly or whatever.
Yeah, you can make a – I've done this many years ago with a congressman that I represented. We invoked some of the immunities under the Constitution for speech.
So with this guy, Ray Epps, for saying what he was saying, be open for some – incitement charge.
When you take a look at some of the statutes, I can see where I'm not saying he should. I am saying he could. I can see a world in which a prosecutor would say that his incitement was a cause for damage both to property and persons. I can see. I mean,
so what's your prediction with this guy?
It's going to come out that he has some. My prediction is it's going to come out that there is some valuable information that he either provided or they need to for him to provide as a foundation for, and that's why he was moved from the list. Nobody's on the FBI most wanted list, taken off after 6 months or whatever it was, and then magically it just kind of goes into the ether unless there is something bigger going on.
So you don't believe in the concept that he may have had some relationship with some government entity before this?
I wouldn't say before, but I would clearly say after.
All right. And Maxwell, an update on that case.
Now, this is interesting. Gary, you want to set this up? Because I think I had you find the letter today.
Yeah, there was a letter submitted. I didn't know that it did it this way, but there basically is a joint letter submitted to the judge that lays out both what the defense wants and what the prosecution wants. And basically the prosecution is saying, we want to set a date for sentencing 4 months down the road. And in the meantime, we want to start preparing her pre-sentence documents where she's got to, you know, provide this information and stuff. And the defense is firing back and going, absolutely not. We want you to rule on this motion for a mistrial because she shouldn't have to give you all of this information that can then be used against her if the motion for a mistrial is granted and she has a new trial.
Right. And it's technically a motion for new trial because that was a great synopsis, with the exception of mistrial.
I appreciate it. Sorry.
Yes, thanks for the backup. Maybe it was because it's the name of the book and Dawson just gave me a check. But the mistrial is when the trial is going on. Now it would be a motion for a new trial. Number two, This is stunning in a lot of ways, because also the prosecution has offered to the judge, if she denies the motion for new trial and proceeds to sentencing, they will
be the judge.
The prosecutors will dismiss the pending perjury counts. So they're willing to dismiss the perjury counts in the civil deposition where she said she had no knowledge of, I believe, Prince Andrew, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. They're willing to dismiss those in trade, basically in trade for the judge, or telling the judge, let's move forward to sentencing.
Now, they frame it as though they're doing that because of the victim's desires to move on. But from an outside perspective, when I was reading this, was like, all right, come on, judge, let's not do a new trial. We'll let these other two slide.
Right. And by the way, this is for those who didn't listen, and we've covered the issue. The issue is that do you have the picture of the juror with his?
I can get it for you. Okay. Yeah, I'll add it in post.
Yeah.
Are you so what's your prediction here?
I think the judge is compelled to give a new trial. I think, you know, and I disagree with all the experts who say no, it'll never happen. I think it is a hat tip to the prosecution here for getting in front of it, for saying, look, we'll do this, we'll do that. This goes to the heart of the integrity of the conviction. This guy has already said, I brought in evidence, mainly my sexual abuse, and convinced people who had a doubt that this was a way to address the bad memory or the lack of memory, which was a central part of the defense in this case.
All right, a interesting note to go out on. Right. Last but not least, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and I bet you work hard too. Well, I'll tell you what's easy, bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. So what do? Well, you go to geico.com, you get a quote, you see just how much you could save and just how easy Geico makes it when you bundle. So visit geico.com today. That is geico.com today. There he is with his 30-pound cat.
Yep, that's the man who has jeopardized, apparently by all accounts, the sanctity and integrity of the verdict.
All right, you can go to amcarolla.com. I'm going to be doing some live shows coming up on the 6th in Brea, February 6th, with Bill Shatner and Dennis Quaid. And you can go check out all our offerings at chassis, 2S's and a Y.com. What do you got, Mark?
I've got, if you're in Palm Springs, go by Gigi's. We're really killing it down there at the V Palm Springs. If you're in San Clemente, stop by the Casa Tropicana or Pierside Restaurant. If you're in New York City and you don't have COVID, go by either the Moxie Prova or GCT Prova. And if you're in L.A., come by 10E or the Engine Company.
So until next time, Sam Krola for Mark Garriga saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
You got enough to do already? I do. That's why I use Shipt same day delivery to keep up with my busy life. They know the snacks I like down to the extra creamy in my peanut butter. I can get deliveries at home, on set, or even when I'm away on vacay. And my personal shopper, Amber, she's got my back. As in, she asks them to check the back if it's not on the shelf. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at shipt.com/hi.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.